T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It almost feels like summer's coming out there. I'm going to disregard the forecast about the snow.
You're just tuning me out?
I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen and look at some different models.
My second wife, you just tune me out when you don't like what I say. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It's 10 minutes after 3 o'clock. I'm Jordana Green, standing next to Paul Douglas, Dan Cook at the helm. Thank you for hanging out with us this afternoon. So, I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 11-year-old. The 15-year-old, the day she could, she got a job. Thank God. She's scooping ice cream at Ben & Jerry's. I love it.
Good for her.
I love it.
Yeah.
My 13-year-old, you can't really work when you're 13 because you're too young. And that's called, you know, child labor.
Child labor laws. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of frowned upon, you know, in Minnesota, the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most developed countries, kind of frowned upon.
And yet you want to give your kids a taste of what it's like to earn their own money.
What are you talking about? I want them the heck out of the house.
Well, that's coming. But for now, right, you want them to sample different
yes.
job opportunities
sure.
and develop that feeling. It's a good feeling when you earn your own money.
Absolutely.
And then you can spend the money the way you want, more or less.
And then there's the part about him not sitting around playing Fortnite or Apex
right.
Legends all summer and actually going out and getting a job.
But can't you make that a job? Video games now? Aren't there some gamers
that
who are making big money?
That is true. T-Wolves
yeah.
Gaming over at the Timberwolves?
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. They're doing it. Okay, but let's digress.
Sorry.
Here's the deal. Yesterday, my son went for his first job training. So you say, what job can a 13-year-old do?
Hmm.
I'll let you in on a little scoop here. A 13-year-old can be a caddy at a golf club.
Huh.
You can't get working papers for a 13-year-old. You can't really have a job. And I'm not an advocate for the slave labor. I mean, he can go mow lawns, I guess, or babysit for sure.
Right.
But he can also be a caddy.
That's a good
at
gig.
A golf club.
That's a good job.
And you know what? There's a college scholarship at some point if he is awarded it. It's a job that you have
Wait
to interact with adults.
College scholarship?
You know, like it's just a local scholarship for some of the caddies here
really?
Locally that work at some of the different
no
clubs.
Kidding.
You get to interact huh. with adults, even though there are people that are very angry and throwing golf clubs. You get to manage up. I always teach the kids, you got to manage up. So they have to manage the golfers. They have to manage their boss. I just think it's a good job for him and the only one that he can do. So he started yesterday. So the conversation in the morning, my husband is, you know, going over the rules of the game, and we've taken some golf lessons going over. And I said, you know, when you go, you have to look professional. This is a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put on your collar shirt and your golf shorts and make sure your sneakers are clean and you're wearing socks and underwear, by the way. Always a good thing to remind a 13-year-old boy. So heads up, moms and dads. He was, don't worry. And he was, I said, make sure you shake hands, a nice firm handshake. Like, we did that whole getting ready for the first job interview. It was really a fun exercise.
Cool.
He probably ignored me completely on most of that. But, of course, it got Paul and I and Dan reminiscing about our favorite or worst, most horrific summer jobs. And God willing, fingers crossed, the caddying will go well. He had his first day of training yesterday. He has a couple days more of training. And then I guess they send him out with the unfortunate golfer that he gets sent out with. But I'll keep you posted on that. But what was your favorite, worst, most hideous, most fun summer job?
Well, look, tell Maddox I double caddied.
Oh, you did?
When I was about his
Ooh,
age.
You were strong.
And it's kind of a tough gig
uh-huh.
when you're carrying two bags around,
Ooh.
Schlepping around two bags. But he's going to have a great time.
I hope so.
My first job was actually delivering newspapers. But I delivered them on a mini bike.
Okay.
It was actually a 90cc Yamaha Mini Enduro. So I would zip around the neighborhood and toss the newspapers.
How old were you?
And I was having a great time. I was about 14.
Okay. But it was a legitimate job. Like, you were paid
oh, yeah.
by the newspaper.
Oh, yeah. yeah
okay.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
you were of age to have a job.
Possibly. And then that.
I mean, he wasn't just going and stealing newspapers off other people's
no,
porches
yeah,
just
yeah.
so he could zip around and throw them to other houses?
Wow,
what
that
do you
does
think
sound
he was
fun.
Talking about?
Arguably the worst job I've ever had, washing dishes at a Sheraton hotel. And like 1,000 dishes would come back, all covered in glop and goop
oh.
after these big conventions. And you had to pre-treat them before you loaded them into the washing machine. But that was not a terribly pleasant job. But the beauty is, when you're still young, It's all about social interaction, learning how to interact with other human beings and realize that, no, you're not always going to get your way. You got to kind of figure out how to deal with people. And find out what you like and what you don't like. It's trial and error, like most things in life.
That's right.
What about you? What was your first gig?
I'm going to take Glenn's call and Blaine, but 651-989-9226 is our number. Jump in on the summer jobs. I will tell mine right after Glenn. By the way, I did work maintenance, and yes, I was on toilet patrol.
What?
I worked maintenance at a summer camp. It was very
You clean toilets?
I'll share that with you after we talk to Glenn. Glenn, let's talk summer jobs.
Yeah, you know, you're right on with that caddy job. My son got that job when he was like a sophomore in high school. He did it at North Oaks. They required caddies there. It was the best thing that he ever did. He wrote me a letter later on after he got out of college, and he said, thanks, Dad, for suggesting that I do that.
Wow.
Like Paul said, it's great social. Yeah. You interact with players. Some players have tempers, some don't. You got to learn how to deal with that.
Right.
But overall, he got to see what successful people were able to do, and that motivated him to go on and become a doctor.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that,
That
Glenn.
Planted a seed. That's great.
And the other thing, too, I want to share is there is such a thing as an Evans Scholarship. He went on to Northwestern. They offered it there, but they probably granted it more towards kids that were from Illinois. He had gone to the U, he probably could have gotten it there. But anyway, the bottom line was it was a great experience. My grandson right now is doing it, and he's going to learn, too, that that's a good way to interact with people and to see if success is out there. And if through hard work, you can make something of yourself.
Yeah.
Glenn, great call.
Yeah,
thank you,
Glenn.
For that. Appreciate that. Well, I didn't even think about that.
Went on to become a doctor.
Yeah, Glenn's got some smart
you
kids.
You caddy for doctors? You say, hey, I want to do that.
Glenn's
I can do that.
Right, yeah. Cynthia's in Buffalo. Jump in here, Cynthia.
Hey, yeah, my first job, I was 14 years old, and I worked at a riding stable.
Oh, fun.
So you had... I got free riding lessons and free trail rides, and I would take the people out on, you know, their barbecue trail rides and stuff. We used to do those on Friday night.
Oh, fun.
And at Halloween, I dressed up like a ghost and rode around on this white horse and spooked everybody. It was a lot of fun.
What a great gig.
Sounds awesome. But there was a lot of shoveling, Cynthia, wasn't there?
Oh. Well, I have to be honest with you. It was hard work. We had to muck out the barns, although I didn't operate the tractor. But we brushed down all the horses. We fed them. We turned them out. We brought them in. And sometimes we'd have to chase a stray or two. But it was a gas. I loved it.
Wow.
Love it. Sound fun. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Appreciate it. That sounds fun. David, jump in here. Summer job.
Yes, I was at Pine Tree Apple Orchard making donuts in the donut room.
Nice.
Oh.
And I was in this little room, and the best thing is I was with two other girls as a teenager, and we giggled, and we giggled, and we giggled, and we had so much fun, and we were able to pop out the donuts like crazy. And then the best thing is to go home and get tons of hugs from my mom because I smelled so good.
You smell like a donut. That's awesome. Smell
like a cinnamon apple donut.
That's an awesome job.
These are all great jobs.
Those are fun.
Holy
Thanks,
cow.
David. I appreciate it. Let's try and sneak in some more here. Gene's in Maplewood. Gene, your worst summer job.
Oh, gosh. It was, okay, you know, I'm going to college. I'm going to be a social worker. So, you know, you take anything. You know, and so this is $1.75. You know, this is back in the '70s. You know, so you stand in one place, you can't sit, and you have two pieces of this toy that you're putting in powdery detergent, and one toy you put in epoxy, and you put together these toys, and that's what you do all day, standing, and you're listening to KDWD or WDGY. And I couldn't stand this song, Band of Gold, because they played it like 8 times. And it was like the worst job. But then you hear about Whirlpool hiring some more summer jobs. And you went from $1.75 to $2.94. And you're going, yay.
Nice.
And then they came around and they said, you want to have, you're working the day. They said, you know, we need people to work at night. And then they said, you will work that night or you won't work. I will work. You're making $3.04 an hour.
Okay.
And you're like, this is gold.
Classic.
But I'll tell you, it's called, when you're just going to go for social work, you really get to a lot of people and you see a lot of people and you're so blessed that you're going to be a social worker.
That's right. So you don't have to epoxy all day and all night.
Not at all. Thank
Gene,
you.
Good call. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gene.
Yeah, see, some people had some hard jobs, too. It's not all fun and games. It's not all riding around at like a white ghost on a white horse.
It gives you perspective, right?
It does.
I mean, all of us have had lousy gigs.
And it gives us great stories.
Makes you appreciate the good jobs.
Yeah, I mean, Dan was telling us he was a male gigolo all throughout high school.
Really?
And
is that true?
That wasn't for the air, yeah. Jordana.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Highly illegal on several. No, the very first job I ever had actually was working at a Burger King, and that was both awesome and terrible all at the same time. Like, you know, any job when you're 16, 17 years old, whatever I was. But in terms of like a summer job of a job that I worked in specifically to make money for college, that I started my senior year of high school, which was actually working in what is now called the Adult Detention Center. It was the primary Hennepin County Jail at the time before they built the public safety facility across the street. So it's over in the City Hall building.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the job was taking old paper jail records and converting them into microfilm. So you had the little strips of microfilm, and then you put them in a little sheet, and then they'd go in a little envelope. So you were taking the big document and making it into a little document before this is – I mean, they should have been putting stuff on computer even at that time.
Of course.
This was early 90s, but they weren't. They were just that far behind in technology-wise. It was rote. It was boring. You had to invent ways to make it entertaining, and, you know, not all of those would be appropriate for the radio, but – but, you know, in early 90s, you know, I was making $9-$10 an hour.
That's good.
I finished my undergraduate degree, I think grand total, I had maybe like $3,000 worth of school loans to pay off.
Good for you.
You were
make that much money.
You were a Burger King guy.
I was a Burger King guy at one point.
Don't you think everybody should work fast food at some point? It's a learning experience.
I'm going to mention this again because I love it. I love this story. I was working at McDonald's, making $3.25 an hour. And the manager called me in and said, well, Paul, you do an adequate job. We're going to give you a nickel raise, but we're not sending you to Hamburger University. We do not believe you have management skills. So I was crushed. I remember going home. I was 15. I said, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I don't get to go to Hamburger University. I'm never going to be a manager. I always wanted to go back and just.
Yeah, show them the companies that you run and the technology that you invented. Uh-huh.
I wanted to go back and buy that McDonald's. but again, yeah, the bottom line is people are always smack-talking and trying to knock you down. It isn't how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up and just say, the heck with you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to find a way.
And you did.
Well,
and everybody who called in did, too. But they make for great stories.
Yeah, we all have stories.
Thank you for sharing yours. I tell you, another segment like Dan is going to be, what job did you do that no longer exists anymore? Because microfiche. No one's using microfiche. Let's talk about that another day. It's 3:22. We'll be back.
Paul and Jordana. Jora, what would you do with $477 million? Would you still come into work? Would you still hang out by my side?
I need to do something, so I might visit every now and then.
Yeah.
I can't just be still, but I would.
You'd have your Bentley convertible, and you would wave at us through the window as you drive by, coming up 7th Street.
Yeah, I would.
Manuel Franco has been buying Powerball tickets since he was 18. Now, 24 years old, the Wisconsin resident taking home the third largest jackpot in U.S. lottery history. He bought the winning ticket, $768.4 million, March 27th at a Speedway gas station in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Quote, I walked into the Speedway. I purchased $10 worth of individual Powerball tickets. I honestly felt so lucky that I looked up at the camera and I wanted to wink at it because I just had that lucky feeling. Kind of want to slap him, don't you? The lucky winner chose to receive a lump sum of $477 million, though at first he was leaning toward the annuity payments. I was going insane, Franco said. My heart was racing. I screamed for 5 to 10 minutes. He went into work the next day, but was sweating profusely, barely able to hide the good news from his coworkers.
I can't imagine.
He soon quit his job at a news conference. He didn't say where he worked, by the way. Wisconsin does not allow lotto winners to remain anonymous, and the Speedway that sold the ticket gets $100,000.
Good for them.
So, wow.
Wow. Good for him. So I am guilty of this next story. I dropped my oldest at school today, half dressed in my pajamas. And we've heard about schools getting mad at parents.
You were in your PJs?
Dressed inappropriately for school drop off. It was my pajamas, but then I had a coat over it and boots. So I was lucky that I did not get pulled over. She drove, by the way. A Houston high school announced earlier this month that parents would need to conform to a dress code to be permitted to enter the school. The April 9th letter announcing the policy says that parents are not permitted to wear what parents are not permitted to wear inside the school at school events. A satin cap or bonnet on their head. I guess that's a big thing. And they're wearing like, I don't know, headscarf. I don't know. Satin cap. Hair rollers. You can't come in your hair rollers. Oh, I guess with the satin cap over it, you know, like our moms used to. Pajamas of any kind. Also, moms, you're not allowed to wear leggings that show your bottom where your body is not covered from the front. Or so no tush is showing. You're not allowed to wear sagging pants. Men wearing only undershirts. And you're not allowed to
wait, just an undershirt,
just
nothing
an undershirt,
else?
Just an undershirt.
I could see where that would be frowned on.
Nope,
frowned
can't upon. Do that. And you're no longer in Houston allowed to wear Daisy Dukes. You know what Daisy Dukes are?
What is it, Daisy
Dukes? You know, the real short shorts? I mean, don't you remember?
Oh, the short shorts,
from
okay, it's coming
Bo
back
Bo and
to
Luke
me.
Duke. What's that show? Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
I got there. I got there. Dukes of Hazzard.
Now I remember. Thank
Daisy
you.
And they are really short. And
good
sometimes
memories.
You can almost see a little crack hanging out of those Daisy Dukes if they're real short.
Oh, it's 3:30.
It's like
right now, 69 in the Twin Cities.
So if you're in Houston, you got to cover up that crack and you put those, pull that shirt down over those leggings before you head on into the kids' school. You watch out during drop-off.
Good. Great. No,
just a heads up.
But how do you enforce that? What do they have? Do they have a bouncer out front? A clothing bouncer?
You might
sorry,
be
ma'am. I got to
leave.
Inspect you. Turn around. Do a 360. All right. You're good. No, you're not good.
I have
you
more.
And the Victoria's Secret outfit? No, you may not enter.
Really?
More fashion no-nos, but that'll have to be for another news segment because you and I are out of time. Hey, when we come back, we're getting deep. We're going into your spiritual practices. That's what we want to know. What is your spiritual practice? Let's talk next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So I'm listening to a podcast, not of the Paul and Giordano show, because I get to live and breathe that every day.
You don't go back and relive some of the best moments?
Sometimes.
Doesn't take long.
This morning I'd had enough, so I was filled up with Paul and Giordano.
You've had enough.
So
yes.
I listen to a lot of Oprah podcasts, a lot of spiritual stuff. And she says in one of her podcasts, to grow as a human being, we all need a spiritual practice. And that struck me. I just needed to like sit with that for a minute. What is your spiritual practice? And she wasn't talking about how you have to go sit in church or you have to sit in synagogue. What is your spiritual practice? And mine came to me fairly quickly because I do yoga. Mm-hmm. And yoga is not just for the body for me. Yoga is for the mind. It's like really an hour of meditation in motion for me.
It tunes you up.
And it tunes
mentally
me out
as well as
to the
physically.
World. That's right. I am only focused on the next move or the breath. That's it. So when I do yoga, I feel in full flow with the world, and it's like my meditation.
You don't check your phone during the yoga?
Oh, God. No,
okay,
no,
okay.
No, it's not even
just
in the
checking.
World. No, don't be silly.
All right.
So for me, that fills me up. And I did yoga today for the first time in a little while because my schedule's been a little off. And I felt like, oh, God, this is like breath. I need this. You know, and I felt really good after the class. Just my mind was calm and I was at peace. And it got me thinking that, yes, this is my spiritual practice and I need to continue it. Because despite what you may think about me as a religious Jew, I don't go to synagogue on a regular basis.
See,
I was
surprised to hear that, because I tell people, and I still believe it, that mm-hmm. you are very devout.
I am. Mm-hmm.
And
I practice my religion on a daily
kosher.
Basis.
You
yes,
keep kosher?
Absolutely. And I pray. It doesn't mean I have to pray in the synagogue, but I pray every day, every morning, every night. I pray. I keep the tenets of my religion in my home, with my family. I do all of those things. I participate in the holidays. I go to synagogue. It's just not every Saturday. I don't go every Saturday or every Friday night, or you can go every day if you're super religious. It's just not my thing. It's not where I get filled up. But I do study Torah one-on-one with a rebbetzin or a rabbi on a weekly basis. So I get religiosity. But that's not even the point of the story. The point of the story is, what is your spiritual practice? For me, it's not necessarily only learning about religion. For me, it's yoga. So the question is, what's yours? 651-989-9226. What's yours, Paul?
I'm like a car. I'm like a BMW at Motorworks BMW.
Always
in
selling.
That,
I was going deep,
no.
And now
no,
he's selling.
No. Now, follow along. As much as I need a tune-up.
Okay.
And I would argue that many people, not all, but many people need tune-ups from time to time. So I go to church. I go to Westwood. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday I'm in town. We go to the 9:30 service, and we sit in the same spot. We're kind of creatures of habit. They have an amazing musical performance there, a full orchestra. It's incredible, just their music ministry. And the minister, Joel Johnson, well, there are a few of them, but mm-hmm. Joel, he's very cerebral, and he packs a lot into his sermons. I'm still unpacking stuff that he said 4, 5, 6 days after I sit through one of the services. Oh, nice. And when I'm away, sometimes I watch online. They have a multimedia. They stream stuff. So that I feel renewed. I come out of church, and you feel kind of that euphoric high, and I hang on to that for a few days. But I find that I need that tune-up, mm-hmm. and it helps for me to go to church. That said, sometimes I can get that same euphoric high out on a fishing boat,
yes.
or sitting on the beach watching a sunset, listening to the loons. Why do people feel so much better when they're going through a park as opposed to an industrial park? It's because I think they feel closer to God when you're out in nature, mm-hmm. and you get to see all the handiwork. So we all have different ways of celebrating, but I personally need that tune-up every Sunday.
Good. I love that. And I've heard people say that it's when they take a walk in nature.
Yeah.
That's their communing, their spiritual. And by the way, when Paul and I say God, we mean the same one you're thinking about. Yours is ours is yours. It's all the same. So whatever you call God is what we're thinking about. So I've heard it, like I said, as a walk in nature. Other people say when they're exercising, like a runner's high. You've mm-hmm. heard that expression used
right.
before. People actually feel like this total peace when they're running. It's a runner's high. So I've heard people saying like that. And I mean, people do meditate. I'm just really bad at meditation and sitting still, even though I try it. But that is also a spiritual activity that fills people
sure.
up. We want to know what yours is. Our number is 651-989-9226. And while you're calling in, there's a new report. In fact, it's out today that the Associated Press is joining with Religion News Service and the publisher of The Conversation to form a global initiative to expand reporting on religion around the world.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting?
It is. At a time when so many people say they're turning away from organized religion, I just find it interesting.
Oh, you think they are, or you think they just say that?
I think they may not be going to church every Sunday, okay. or they may not be going to synagogue,
mm-hmm.
but they may still be religious and spiritual and trying to raise their kids
yeah.
in the way that they were raised. With values,
sure.
with morals, with some sense of spirituality, I hope so. But the AP is hiring 8 religion journalists.
Mm-hmm.
Religion News Service is hiring 3 at a time when so many others are shrinking mm-hmm. their staffs. They're expanding, covering religion. So I found that interesting.
Dean's in St. Paul. Dean, jump on in here. Do you have a spiritual practice?
Well, I'll tell you what. Because of my work schedule, and I'm able to go to church all the time, and I don't specify myself as literally a Catholic, a Jew, or a Lutheran, or whatever, but I'm a very God-fearing man. I believe in everything that he's all about. He's with me every day, no matter whether I'm at home, I'm at work, and if somebody comes by and hears me talking to myself, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to Jesus Christ himself all
Excellent.
The time. He's wherever I am, he is.
So would you define that as your spiritual practice when you're actually connecting, when you're talking to God?
Yes, I am. I consider myself a Christian, and my wife and kids are baptized Catholic, and we do belong to a Catholic church, but I'm not able to go to church all the time. I suppose if I did, I'd work different hours, so I'd be extremely tired at work, and I drive a patrol car, and I don't want to, you don't want to get in an accident. So I talk to him every day. More than once an hour, I would say.
And he answers you.
Yeah. Oh, hey. He gave me my wife, my kids, my job, my house, my friends.
He's good.
My favorite radio station, CCO, obviously.
I'm verklempt. Seriously,
wow.
That's
very cool.
Tearing up, Dean. That was
very
beautiful.
Well said, Dean. Thank you for being so eloquent.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I love your show.
Thank you,
Dean. For listening. Isn't that cool?
It's really cool. And I love when people talk about this. I mean, we talk about religion, and Dan is a
religious
person.
Dan is
a
divinity student. Dan, mm-hmm. weigh in here. I mean, we had this chat on Good Friday, but
a little bit, yeah.
when people say, oh, it's a crutch, you know, religion's a crutch. I go, nah, it's not really a crutch. It's a leg that I stand on.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
and I know you feel the same way.
I do. I mean, everybody gets to approach it however they want to approach it. But what gets my goat all the time, and we've talked about this before, and I've talked about it on other shows, is when you hear these studies, these polls about, you know, religion is dying in America, or I don't buy it for a second. Because organized religion, maybe. You know, people going to church every Sunday because that's just what you do, that may be petering out a little bit. Going to church for me is absolutely part of my routine, and it's something, you know,
something
like
you enjoy.
Something I enjoy, and something like Paul, you know, talked about, I need. But I think there's a thousand different ways. We're all walking around with access to a million different podcasts in our pockets, right? And every church now puts their sermons out on podcasts.
For sure.
You know, I walk around all the time listening to podcasts of sermons from other churches or people talking about faith or whatever it is. I mean, there's a million different ways that you can access your spirituality,
true,
whatever that is, Christian,
true,
Jew, you know, whatever it is, whatever. But I think we're all born with a need for something beyond ourselves. And I think how you fill that, you know, is up to each of us individually, but you got to fill it, or you're going to end up trying to fill it with stuff that gets you into all kinds of trouble.
Well, that's it. You have to fill it. And sometimes it's not. Like for me, it's not always going to synagogue. And for you guys, it is going to church, but it's something else. And I love hearing what the other things are. Dean's having a conversation in his car. That's great. I mean, for me, it's yoga. For other people, it's a walk around the lake. Lord knows, I hope you're doing that more these days. You'll feel all filled up spiritually if you're walking around the lake, except on Saturday.
I try to end every day with a prayer, a thank you prayer. And then when I wake up, first thing is I stagger out of bed. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for one more day. And then I go and check my phone to make sure the world hasn't blown up.
And you say it again. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Madeline, we see your call. Let's take a quick break. But yes, Madeline, we'll take your call and the rest of them after the break.
In the meantime, 3:47, Wicks and Jewelers time. Are you searching for a truly exceptional diamond? Then you don't want to miss the diamond event at Wicks and Jewelers on May 3rd and May 4th.
Talking about your spiritual practice, and I wish we had more time for the segment. We're going to get in as many calls as we can. Madeline's in Eagan, wanted to jump in. Hi, Madeline.
Hey, Madeline.
Hey, you know, I have a fantastic spiritual practice. I'm a member of the Satanic Temple of Minnesota, which means I'm also an atheist. But, you know, we just love being able to go and hang out with people and who have this shared value of compassion and justice and empathy towards everyone. And I think it's kind of important, actually.
Very important. And it sounds like you have some beautiful shared values. I'm glad you have a place that you feel safe where you can do that. Thank you, Madeline.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Right? That's good. It's a beautiful thing. Mike's in Minneapolis. Hey, Mike.
Hey. You know, people have sometimes looked at me sideways for saying it, but fishing, being out in nature, how can you not believe in God when you look at nature?
Amen. Yes.
It's
well said.
Better to be fishing and thinking about God than be sitting in church thinking about fishing.
Well said, Mike.
The quote of the day.
Well said. Amen.
Awesome. We got to grab that sound.
Joe's in Monticello. Hey, Joe, you got a minute.
Hey, Paul and Jordana.
Hey, Joe.
Mine was pretty much mimicking the caller before me, but mine's hunting. We spent last weekend down in the Red Wing area overlooking the Mississippi River Valley. Being up at 5 o'clock in the morning to the sun coming up over those ridges, listening to the turkeys gobble, seeing the deer come out in the field in front of you, it's undescribable.
Amazing.
It's a religious experience. Amazing. It's like a pilgrimage. You're absolutely right.
Thank you, Joe.
It
doesn't have to be in church or in synagogue. It's hunting, it's fishing, it's sharing compassion together. Thank you for joining this conversation.
Yeah,
I loved
good.
Having it with you.
That
Thank
was
you,
fun.
Paul and Dan, for sharing as well. When we get back, U of M wants to sell booze at basketball and hockey games. You on board?
We'll see.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.